Our theme tonight is QE3 Rocks Your World, and I wanted to talk a fair amount tonight about QE3 rather than go through a sort of a detailed roundup in money and markets, because I think the QE3 announced by the Fed last week is just going to be, it's going to impact all of us. It's going to be very important. And interestingly enough, what I've been finding over the last week is there's a lot of spotty knowledge about what this is and what it means. So I really want to focus on that. It is the big news of the week, and it's going to make an enormous difference to events over the next year. What is quantitative easing? Quantitative easing is simply a process by which a central bank injects significant amounts of money into the money supply. Typically, it's a little bit like financial steroids, where ultimately the only guys who are better off at the end of the day are the ones who make and sell the steroids. But clearly, the Fed is expanding the money supply. The definition of inflation is one, it's very simple. When the money supply increases, it is said to inflate. When the money supply decreases, it is said to deflate. Now, central bank action is not the only thing that can inflate or deflate a money supply. The velocity of money, so as money is injected into the banking system and the banking system lends and people feel bullish about the economy, you'll see something called the multiplier effect, which means more money is passing hands, and that can increase both the leverage in the banking system, and then the activity in the general economy can increase the money supply. So you can see the central bank increasing the money supply, but other things going on in the economy, whether it's the banks not lending or people not circulating, can offset and decrease the money supply. Now, what is the particular kind of quantitative easing that the Fed engaged in last week? We've had, from the time of the bailout, we've had what's called QE1, then QE2, and now this is referred to as QE3. QE3 is fundamentally different than QE1 and QE2 in that the Fed has not put a limit on what they're going to do. They are not saying we're going to stop at such and such a time, or we're going to stop at $700 billion. They say we're going to buy $40 billion a month of mortgage securities, presumably from the big banks, the Fed member banks, and I suspect Fannie and Freddie as well. And we're going to keep doing it until we stop. One of the things they're doing, very unusual, is tying it to the unemployment rate. So they're saying we're going to keep doing this until we're not worried about unemployment anymore, and I'll talk a lot about that in a second. Now, what do I think they're really doing? I just published an article early this week called QE3, If You're in the Real Estate Market, You Need to Pay Attention. And I describe, it's up on the blog, you can read it, and it's linked from the subscriber links in tonight's blog post. What I describe is what I think is happening, which is the Fed has decided that it is going to once and for all extinguish all mortgage fraud, buy it all up in the market, and in the process extinguish all criminal liabilities, and also protect sovereign governments and institutional investors from around the world from losing money on the mortgage fraud, let alone bringing actions, whether it's nuclear attacks or actions in the courts complaining about the fact that they were sold AAA mortgage paper and what they got instead was something that was fraudulently issued and fraudulently issued with the blessings of the U.S. government and the central bank. So this is a cleanup action, and I think what the Fed is really saying is we're going to keep buying this toxic paper and pulling it off of the balance sheets of the banks, pulling it off the balance sheets of Fannie and Freddie, and pulling it off of the balance sheets of wherever it is until it's extinguished. Now, why would they want to do that? One of the reasons they want to do that is so the market can clear. Right now, a great deal of the U.S. real estate market is frozen because you have houses and real estate underwater, but you also have a whole world of things that can't mark to market, and that's because there's so much fraud and so much criminal liability involved. Now, one of the $64,000 questions is, will any of these benefits pass from Fannie Freddie, pass from the big banks to mortgage holders, whether it's on commercial real estate or residential real estate, who are in the process of workouts or in foreclosure? My guess is yes, but it's too early to tell. No doubt, if it happens, it's a lock on the election for the Democrats this year, because so much money will flow through. If you flow through enough to clear the market at the workout and foreclosure level, whether it's clearing the market by forcing the foreclosures through because the banks can afford for that to happen, or because you're spreading enough money around and sort of allowing people to walk away from their mortgages and other kinds of indebtedness. Either way you clear the market, you allow a mark to market, and you do it in a way that extinguishes, as I said, the criminal liabilities. What that means is the $27 trillion plus dollars that have been pulled out of the economy are now free to flow back in to into the U.S. economy and start to accumulate large amounts of real estate, which I think they already have, particularly have started to do with respect to farmland, but can do it with respect to everything. Now, the thing that makes Bernanke's tying this to unemployment so politically brilliant and really so vicious is that to date, the way that we have offset the inflation that comes, the monetary inflation that comes from quantitative easing and loose monetary policy, is with labor deflation. So you've heard me talk many times about the slow burn. And in fact, what the slow burn is, a process by which you create monetary inflation and offset it with labor deflation. Now, what do I mean by that? For many years, you'll always see me get in debates with people all around the financial blogosphere and in the financial press. They say, we're going to have a collapse. I say, no, it's going to slow burn. They say, we're going to have hyperinflation. I say, no, it's going to slow burn. The way you avoid collapse is essentially by printing money and stealing assets. You know, that's what Iraq and Afghanistan is. And the way you avoid hyperinflation is by labor devaluation. So, for example, during the 1990s, we dramatically shifted jobs and manufacturing out of the United States and started to compete countries where people were working for a dollar an hour against labor in the first world. So we pitted third world labor against first world labor, and we're rebalancing labor and labor prices globally. And that's a dramatic shift between the value of labor and the value of capital, very much in the favor of capital. So that dramatically devalued labor. The second thing is we introduced new technology, and in part the globalization was possible as a result of the new technology. But whether replacing people with machines or streamlined process that information technology allows, what you're doing is, again, dramatically reducing the cost and value of labor. Finally, we've been engaging in increasing levels of depopulation. When you depopulate, you destroy demand for goods and services and natural resources. So whether it's organized crime bringing drugs into a community, or again, war is a very big kind of, so we go into Iraq and Afghanistan and kill the people and take their assets. All these things lower the value of life and offset, as a financial matter, the inflation, the monetary inflation created. Now, let's go back to what Ben said. Ben said, I'm going to keep on printing until unemployment comes down. Well, we know quite the opposite is true. The way that monetary inflation has been set off is, in fact, by devaluing labor. And when you're talking about the most aggressive round of quantitative easing that we've seen, then what you're going to need to see going forward is several more rounds of labor deflation. Well, what could that look like? Union busting. We've seen the efforts across the squabble in Wisconsin and in other states to really start to make headway against the state and local unions. We're watching again the unfolding of the drama on American Airlines this week as the basically the unions and retirement agreements are abrogated or changed or essentially busted. Talk of the fiscal cliff next year is going to involve sort of the draining or debasing of retirement benefits. And certainly in the case of someone like American Airlines, the abrogation, more technology is scheduled to come out that could have dramatic impact on the value of labor that does things that now can be replaced by robotics or other machines. It's going to increase the value of labor that's needed, skilled labor that's going to need to work with the new tools. And of course, depopulation again, because depopulation limits the pressure on natural resources and goods and services. It lowers the price of tangibles. And that's why our conversation with Jeffrey Smith and watching his new DVD, which I can't recommend to you enough, about GMOs is so important, because GMOs has the ability, I think, to dramatically impact the health and the fertility of generations yet to come. Don't underestimate the power of the system to offset monetary inflation with labor deflation. That's how they've been getting the slow and steady slow burn. And it's been quite amazing, because there are several commentators who I respect tremendously who have not yet seen that and keep predicting a hyperinflation, and the hyperinflation never comes. Now, the challenge is, if we get suddenly a burst of inflation running up, or the labor deflation spiraling down towards a collapse, what you can do if the managers of the system don't feel that they can continue to manage, you can get a shift to war. War happens when the slow, steady process, when the slow burn can't be managed, and that's what sort of brings the system back into the controlled equilibrium. The GMO issue is important as well, because of the need, as you've probably heard me say, the need for assets to back a global digital currency. Where the central bankers want to go is they want to go to digital currencies. And to do that, they're going to need, with the changes in technology impacting energy, they're going to need an asset to replace oil. And as I discussed with Jeffrey Smith tonight, I think genetically modified seed and food gives them the ability to do that. And I think it's one of the reasons that the pressure is so enormous to get a global GMO system that gives control of the food supply to a few corporations. My article, again, QE3, if you're in the real estate market, you need to pay attention, got a very good response. It's up at Daily Bell and ScoopPatrick.net, a variety of other places. I encourage you to read it. What does this all mean to you? Let me just quickly run through it. What QE3 means is that your dollar deposits and fixed income securities are going to drop in purchasing value. Obviously, if you have a $100,000 CD, it's not going to go down, but $100,000 is going to buy you less. I had two posts that I asked Justin, our production assistant, to post up under subscriber links in the blog post. One is called Positioning Your Assets. Another is called Positioning Your Assets. Is your community losing $3.3 billion? What I do is I take the period 2003 to 2008, and I walk through a family of four in the San Francisco Bay Area and show you how much they lose in purchasing power as a result of this kind of monetary policy. So in 2008, what I show you is that they've lost the equivalent of $250,000 in 2008 dollars. I then take a community of 100,000 and walk through all the dollar deposits sitting throughout the community and count it up and show that that community has lost $3.3 billion of purchasing power when measured in 2008 dollars. So this is a very important issue for both individuals, for households, and for communities in general, because essentially the system is harvesting the people economically by debasing their deposits, and so the deposits ends up being very cheap financing to the system. Anybody who's got a lot of dollar deposits in the bank and is getting a yield of 0.25% to 0.5%, I'm sure understands what I mean. expect essential expenses to rise, expect food prices to rise. Tangibles are likely to rise, such as precious metals, as Ben announced, as QE3 was anticipated. And then after it was announced, we've seen precious metals come up a lot, as Franklin Sanders and I discussed last week. The stock market has been supported by this in the short run. The Dow has now has not closed down 1% or more in nearly 3 months. That's 61 sessions. That's the longest stretch of sort of up period in almost 6 years. It's likely, given what's happening with earnings, that the North American stock markets can't continue to outperform the rest of the world. And if anything, we're probably in for a turn. But the reality is the stock market represents tangibles one way or another. And so the place that's going to have a tough time on this is the bond market. We've seen Bernanke say he wants to keep yields down essentially next to nothing till 2015. So it's hard to believe that bonds, it's hard to see where they go below the basement here. The real estate, that my QE3 article that's posted up on the blog and has been republished around the internet, I talk about what this means to you if you're in the real estate market, and I think that's important. Again, the $64,000 question is, will they flow through some of the money to people in the middle of workouts or foreclosures? Let's hope the answer is yes. But if you're in the middle of a workout or a foreclosure, you definitely want to pay attention and see if you can be the beneficiary of this big change in policy, because it's likely that your servicer or your securitizer or your bank may be the beneficiary and may be under orders to pass some through, particularly in election year. We're seeing all over the country refinancings at even more attractive yields. So if you're in a position to refinance, you may want to do it. Finally, if you're in the market for real estate, I think there is a very significant chance, if the Fed succeeds in clearing the market, that we're going to start to see very significant dollars moving in from offshore into both residential and commercial real estate and land and farmland, particularly next year. What that means in terms of prices, still a question mark, because we have the fiscal cliff negotiation on the federal budget to go through. But I suspect if the fiscal cliff gives us one last good round of price drops or attractive price levels, once that's over, big money is going to be accumulating in this process. Finally, what it means is that Romney is probably dead on arrival in terms of any chance of winning the presidential election. It clearly looks like the powers that be have decided that they'd rather go with Obama. This kind of quantitative easing puts Obama in a very, or the sitting president, in a very strong position against any contender. And if you look at some of the headlines on Romney this week, such as the leaked audio from a private presentation he did saying too many American people on the American on the government payroll, those kinds of things generally only happen when the top guys have decided, you know, it's time for this guy to die. I must admit, I agree with Romney that unfortunately too much of the economy is running through the federal government, but certainly the way he said it has to be one of the least astute political comments you could ever make. Particularly when he talked about people not paying taxes. Romney certainly does not pay his fair share of taxes and hasn't for a long time. I keep encouraging the subscribers and the Soleri team to get interested in local politics. A wonderful piece up on the blog, check it out, by Gary Heckman, with a very distinguished career in the municipal sector. It's called Want to Have a Real Impact? Shift Your Time to State and Local Politics. I really want to get you interested. I just wrote in today for my absentee ballot. Just get interested in your local elections. Remember, it's much more important who your sheriff is than who your president is at this point. For those of you who may have accounts there, I just want to point out Morgan Stanley is getting hammered by more than... it's getting hammered by the rating agencies, getting hammered by the courts. getting hammered across the board. If you have accounts there, you just want to take notice. They may have a rough period ahead of them.